Again, before we get into the preaching, I want to take a moment and I would like to have all those who have served in the military, armed forces of our country, would you stand? I know we've already given you a hand, but I want to just recognize you again and have you tell us where you, what branch of the service that you served in. So we'll start over here with my good friend in the balcony. Navy. I salute you, sir. All right. And Harvey, I believe you're unit. Go ahead, sir. Navy. All right. Army. All right. Air Force. Army. Marine Corps. All right. Okay. Now be careful about the Marines and the Navy now. We don't need any battles here. Do we get them all? Get them all? All right, thank you for serving, and we appreciate you so very, very much. I just hope every time I see a man in uniform, if I'm in some place, I always walk up and say thank you for serving. And they need to hear that from us because they're not being treated right today. They really are being mistreated. I want you to take the Word of God this morning, and I want you to go to the book of 2 Kings, Chapter 6. The message today is about the iron that did swim. The iron that did swim. You go over there to verse 6 of chapter 6 of 2 Kings, and the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, literally a branch, and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. It didn't say it just floated. The iron did swim. Father, I pray this day that you'll deal with our hearts, and thank you for what you're going to do in our lives for this message. I pray, Lord, we'll be open, that you will change us in whatever way we need to be changed, for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. Now, Elijah had performed many miracles. In these seven verses, this is a miracle of recovering the lost axe head. I want you to notice, first of all, three thoughts here. The meaning of the beam, B-E-A-M, because he is going to tell them there in verse 2, "Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take there every man a beam." The meaning of the beam. And then secondly, the missing axe head. Because when they were cutting down the trees, the axe head flew away from the, or it lost its axe head, and it went into the Jordan River. And then thirdly, I want you to know the miracle made possible. The miracle made possible. A lot of the times we would say, "I'd like to have a miracle in our lives." Yet you can't have a miracle unless there first be a problem. Has to be something that would need a miracle. And a lot of times we fail. We don't want that. We want the miracle without the problem. Well, God doesn't do that. He performs miracles through situations and trials in our life. Now, think with me first of all, and I want to just read these first two verses. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elijah, Behold, now the place where to dwell with thee is too straight." In other words, it's too narrow, it's too small for us. "Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take every man a beam, and let us make us a place where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye." Now take that word beam, B-E-A-M. I want to do an acrostics with that if I can, because I think that really gives the idea here of what that beam is all about. I hope you realize that we all need to be a beam. There needs to be a beam. There needs to be in our life here, that thought here. Now, what is a beam? B-E-A-R, B-E-A-M. I'll get it right here. I went to a public school, so I have to work on that. But that word, that letter B, is bearing your own burden. Now, notice here in the text, he said, verse 2, "Let every man, let us go, we pray thee, in Jordan, and take thence every man a beam," bearing your own burden. Now, this church, as the pastor will come here in a few weeks, he's going to need every one of you to bear your own burden. Now, I want you to leave that portion of Scripture for just a moment. We'll go back to it. And I want you to go there to the book of Galatians there, chapter 6. And you will find in that chapter, you will find the word bear burden or the word bear there at least three times. I want you to notice this because in verse 2, and that word, in each of these texts, it has a significant meaning of bearing your burden. We're to bear your own burden. Now, first of all, in verse 2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens. That's the burden of others. This church is going to be successful at all. It needs to reach out to others. Amen? Others. And then I come there to verse 5, and it looks like verse 5 is a contradiction of verse 2. For verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. And then in verse 5 said, but every man shall bear his own burden. It's not a contradiction. The first word, burden, the burden of others, but this is the burden of obedience. That word bear here is a different word than the one found there in verse 2. It is the idea of like a man, like going out and like an army, the army going out in a hike or going over terrain. Every man is to have his own knapsack. And in his knapsack, he would have everything that he needed to carry. And that's the idea of that word there in verse 5. You're to bear your own knapsack. You're to carry your own burden as well as the burden to share with others. I don't think those who've been in the military would ask their friend, listen, I'm so tired. I know you're carrying your knapsack, but would you carry mine as well? No. You carry your own knapsack. And I want to tell you today, you are in the Lord's army. You're in the Lord's service. I'm in the Lord's service, and we need to carry our own burden. So the first one is the burden of others. The second one is the burden of obedience. Then the third one that you'll find over there is in there in verse 17. For henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. That's the burden of overcoming the obstacles of your life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so we have the burden for others, we have the burden of obedience, and we have the burden of overcoming the obstacles in our own lives. So bearing your own burden. When he said to every man, get over there, going back to our passage in 2 Kings, when he said, every man, you're to bear your own burden. That's the letter B. And then E is enlarging your vision. Enlarging the vision. Look at verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elijah, behold, now the place we dwell in where there is too straight for us. In other words, the place is too small, too narrow. And I would suggest that we think here we need to break out of our smallness. We really do. We need to break out of that. Someone said, this is a small church. Let's break out of it. God wants to build a much larger church than what we have here this morning. But we need to break out of the smallness of our life, and we need to expand the content of our life. I think over there are two references when I think of that truth. I go to, first of all, to Isaiah, and I want you to turn there with me, if you will, please, to Isaiah 54. And when you turn there to Isaiah 54, I have underlined a great verse there, verse 2. You see, we're not only to bear our own burdens, but we're to enlarge our vision. Look at verse 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. In other words, you are to enlarge. They said, we're going to make the tent. That's what they lived in back in those days, tents. They made the tents by just stretching the stakes out, making the tents a little bigger, and God wants us to enlarge the habitation of our own personal lives. He wants us to get a vision. I think also along with that, I'll not take time to turn there, but well, maybe I will, in Nehemiah. Over there in the book of Nehemiah, and I go over there to that fourth chapter in the book of Nehemiah. I like what he says there in verse 6. It's a great verse. And so as Nehemiah was building the walls of Jerusalem, verse 6 says, and look at this. Oh, I think you need to turn there. If you haven't, turn to it. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined into the half thereof. And here's the phrase, for what? The people had a mind to work. That's it. That's it right there, the people. Every person was involved in the building of that project that day, in that year. And our people need to be involved. You see, we're all going to get involved. I think oftentimes we think when we get a pastor, we're hiring somebody to do the visiting. We're hiring somebody to do this and do that. No, we are all involved in the building process of the church. Bearing your own burden, enlarging your vision. People had a mind to work. You can either watch things happen or you can help them make things happen. We've got too many in our Baptist churches that are watching things happen instead of helping to make things happen. I would ask all of us to get involved in helping to make things happen. Then I think of that letter A. That's abounding in the work. Go back, think with me for a moment. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 comes to my thought. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always the what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. That word abounding is an interesting word. It means above the ordinary, but it has a little more meaning to it than that. It means to do it with joy. Now, I like what Nehemiah 8, chapter 8 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So when you do a work for the Lord, whether you sing in the choir, you teach a class, or go visiting, whatever you do it with joy. Because that's the strength that will enable you to accomplish what you need to accomplish. So be bearing your own burden. E, enlarging your vision. A, abounding in the work of the Lord. And then M, making a miracle happen. Would you note a very familiar verse in Philippians chapter 4? I think you're all familiar with verse 13, are you not? I can what? I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Someone said that miracles come in cans. I can do. I thought of that verse. That idea of the first part of that verse, I can do all things, that is, you must, two things. The first part of that verse means you must be confident. I can. And the second verse, part of that verse, it must be Christ-centered. I can do all things. Confidence. But you can't do it except through Christ. It's got to be Christ-centered. So we see here, I just believe God is going to perform some miracles if all the people will just come together in every way and said, listen, this is not the pastor's job to build this. This is all of us together to work together. This is our opportunity to carry our being, B-E-A-M, the meaning of the being. And then secondly, note with me as you go with the passage. Go back there, the missing axe head. Go back to our passage there in 2 Kings chapter 6. And verse 3 says, And so he said, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. And he answered, I will go. Now Elijah, God was going to send him. I like this. I think he was testing them. Elijah in this passage is a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that we cannot do it without his supervision. He knows he needs to go along, but he wants to be invited. You hear that? He wants to be invited. He wants to be invited to come along and to see that the job is done. And then God did an interesting thing here in the text. I personally don't like to mess with an axe. I am not, my wife is scared when I pick up a tool or a hatchet or a hammer or an axe. She's saying, I wonder if he's going to come back in safely. I wonder if there's going to be blood all over the grass. Leif, I'm not you. You got a birthday on the 30th too, don't you? My son's birthday and my grandson's. All right, well, happy on Memorial Day. You know that's the, okay, you got that one down, good. Nothing to do with the message, but I looked up there, I saw, and I was thinking of him. Now, he could do it, but when I was out not too long ago, and Lath heard about it, and he said, don't get up on that ladder again. Well, sound like my wife. But anyway, I get trimming those things, and I said to Marilyn, I said, I need to get the chainsaw. She said, we're hiring somebody. She realizes that she'll have to suffer wherever I suffer with. But I thought about this axe, the missing axe head. Now, think with me the representation of this axe, its head, meaning. First of all, the axe, it represents the purpose of God for your life. In a sense, you are an axe with an axe handle, an axe head. You have a purpose. It was forged and it was fashioned, it was sharpened and it was shaped to be an instrument in the hands of the one who is going to use it. And that's exactly what every one of us are here today. We have been forged, we have been fashioned, we have been shaped, we have been sharpened to be an instrument in the hands of God. You're here for a purpose. I'm here for a purpose. I was thinking on the way up here when we left yesterday, and we had a big moving sale and had to deal with all that. Don't ever want to do that again. But on the way up here, I was thinking about the fact how good God has been to allow me to have a part in this ministry. I really want to say that from the... And I won't be here for the next 2 weeks. I have to be in Wisconsin 1 week, and the other week my kids are leaving for Pompeii. And as much as I love you, I'm going to be with them. But I thought of that, how God has a purpose in my life. This is the longest one I've done. It'll be 18 months. That's a long time for a man who is 27. I mean 72 to serve in one ministry here. But I'm thankful in an interim position. But I thought about that, how God has been good to me to allow me to be here. Because God has a purpose for my life. And by the way, those of us who are retired, we really are not retired. God wants to use every one of us in the ministry in some form or another to be used for His glory. Forged and fashioned, shaped and sharpened to be an instrument of God. God has made you, He's made me into an axe with a purpose. And then think secondly, the axe handle. That's the person you are. Think with me here as we come down here. You're just an axe handle. It's just a stick shaped into a stick. You ever think about that? That was made out of wood. In the Old Testament, wood is always a symbolic of our humanity. Brother Matt was teaching on the tabernacle when he talked about the acacia wood that was overlaid with the gold speaking of his deity, and the acacia wood of his humanity. And we don't have the gold over in us. No, we're just a stick. Just a stick. That's all we are. Just a stick. And what good is a stick without the axe head on it? No value whatsoever without the axe head. You ever try to cut a tree with an axe head, an axe handle? You ever try to cut some wood? It won't get anywhere. We are just absolutely no value whatsoever without the axe head. That's just our way. That's the person we are. I would like to buy some Christians for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth. I'd make me a lot of money. Because we have this idea in our minds we're a little more important than what we really are. You're just an axe handle. Just all you are. Just a piece of wood. But you don't know, preacher. I'm a piece of oak, or I'm a piece of pine. Well, it doesn't make any difference. You could be the most valuable piece of wood you think you are, but you're still just a piece of wood. No value whatsoever without Him. The axe with its handle represents God's purpose for your life. The axe handle represents you as a person you really are. God made you. And then the axe head, that's the power. The power. The axe head, the power. What good is the handle without the head? Nothing. I remember what our Lord said there in John chapter 5, verse 9. The Son of Man can do what? Nothing of Himself. Our Lord said that. Because in His humanity, He realized, even though He was still God and He surrendered all those rights to act of God, He was still God, but He said, I depend upon God, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. I depend upon them. I can do nothing myself. And I think over there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, the axe, the head, Jesus Christ is the head. He's the axe head. What would you do without a head? Well, my wife was scared I was going to take that axe and maybe cut my head off. I don't know. I think she was in there praying when I get hold of an axe. But think with me. It speaks of the power. Here I got a handle, and I can walk in. Now, this should show that how I'm really... My wife thinks I'm deteriorated. I walk there with a handle, just the handle, and I say, honey, I'm going to go out and cut some wood. Two things, reaction we'll get for her. Number one, you aren't going to cut wood with that. And number two, you're safer without the axe head. But I will share with you today that I could go out there and take that axe handle, and I could hit that tree or hit that wood all I want, make a little dent in it, but I'm not going to get that cut. You see, I need the power of God. I need the axe head. Without the handle, without the axe head attached to the handle, I'm in. Now, boy, you put that axe head on that handle, you can do something. Now you have purpose. Now you have power. Now God wants to accomplish through your life something you didn't before. But notice far further down here, the axe with its head speaks of the purpose God has for us. The axe handle is simply the person we are. Oh, you may be made. You may think you're the best wood that was ever made, ever cut off of a tree. You're still just wood. Without then that axe head, the power of God. And then notice fourthly, the head fell into the water. I want you to get this. Let's read down here. Verse 4, so he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. It's bad enough to lose your own axe. I can hear him now. By the way, these were poor fellows. They were poor. It's like a fellow said, I'm a poor preacher. Somebody, and the fellow said, yeah, I heard you preach. I know you are a poor preacher. But that's not what he meant when I make that statement. I meant they didn't have any resources and didn't even have enough money to buy an axe, so they borrowed one. Now, it's bad enough when you lose something you own, but it's worse when you lose something that somebody else owns. And this here speaks of the possession of our lives. We do not own ourselves. You don't own you. You know, sometimes we say, that's my life. I'll do with my life what I want to do. You don't own your life. You don't own it. I go over there, over there in the book of 1 Corinthians over there, and I'm reminded of that truth here, that without him, he owns everything about me. He owns everything. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? No, you're not. That your body is what? Temple. And you are not of your own. You're bought with a price. He owns us. I thought about that. Lax that day that when he fell in there. Now keep in mind that axe was borrowed, not its own. Belonged to somebody. Didn't belong to him. Now it wasn't only borrowed, it was broken. The axe handle isn't where it needs to be. It left the axe left at the handle. And so it had lost its purpose. It has lost its power. And whenever you lose your purpose, whenever you lose your power, your life is going to be messed up. You know, there are so many people, I'm talking about Christians, whose lives are a disaster because they've lost their purpose. A handle with an axe head, and they lost their axe head. They have no purpose. You know what? That means we just act like the world, no purpose. The world hasn't had any purpose. I have never seen a country in 5 years of my life go down the drain in 5 years like this country is going down the drain. If you don't know that, you better wake up because there's no purpose. Everything about America in Washington, D.C. is political. everything. And they don't really care, I think, about the average American person. But God does. And I thank the Lord for that. I thought of that. It was borrowed. It was broken. And certainly there was a burden. Left nothing. There was nothing left but a burden. A lot of people today, Christians, are trying to run their life, trying to get the true life with it being an axe handle, trying to get through life. No purpose, no power. Mixed up. But thirdly, I see not only the meaning of that being, bearing your own burden, enlarging your vision, abounding in the work of the Lord, of making a miracle happen, but and the missing axe head. That axe with its purpose, that axe handle with its purpose, the person we are, that axe head, the power we are, and then when he lost a possession that belongs to God. I think every day we ought to get up, look in the mirror, say, you belong to God. You belong to God. Point to the person in the mirror, you belong to God. You better find out what he wants you to do today. I like that verse. This is the day the Lord has made, right? And we will rejoice in it. You don't have a business doing otherwise, neither do I. We're borrowed. By the way, we're on borrowed time. The older we get, the shorter that gets. Thirdly, the miracle made possible. Now, that miracle involved three things. The miracle involved the person and the people who lost the axe head. I want you to notice this. Look at verse 5 picks up the context. But as one was felling a beam, the axe had fell into the water, and he cried and he said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed, didn't belong to me." And the man of God, that's Elijah, said, "Where did it fall? Where did it fall?" Now get this. Now he really didn't need to ask that question, where did it fall? Fell. He didn't need to do that because you know God could reveal that to him. Amen? But I have found if you really want a miracle in your life, you need to be involved in that miracle too. So he said, "Where is it? Where did it fall? Where did it go into the water?" You want a miracle in your life? Be willing to let God do whatever he needs to make that miracle possible. We like to say, "Lord, perform a miracle. I'm not going to go back here and sit down and wait for it to happen." That's called the doctrine of baloney. Because you want a miracle, you better be willing to be part of that miracle. He said, "Where did it fall?" So we have the miracle involves people. Secondly, the miracle involves God's provision. Now look here. And the man of God said where it fell, and he showed him the place. Didn't need to really, but God said, "Listen, I want you to be involved." And he cut down a stick. Now that word stick there can be translated branch. And if you go there to Isaiah, and you go there to chapter 11 of Isaiah, you realize over there that Jesus Christ, with a capital B, is called the branch. There are no miracles without Jesus Christ. It not only involves God's the people, but in God's provision, a branch. Christ is that branch. Praise God for the risen Christ. Hallelujah for the risen Christ. I've never been to Arlington Cemetery. How many of you have ever been there? Let me see your hands. I want to go sometime. And all those markers and all those crosses brings tears to my eyes just to think about it. But you can go to Golgotha, and he's not there. It's the only tomb that is empty. Hallelujah for the risen Christ. I see not only the people involved and the provision involved in that, the Lord Jesus, but I see the miracle involves God's power. verse 6. I like this. You know, sometimes if you're careful, you'll overlook something here. I thought of this in verse 6. He cut it down, a stick, and cast it thither, and the iron did what? Swim. Now, it'd been a great miracle if the iron floated. That would be a great miracle. Hello? But it swam. You can't swim unless you have life. Dead people, dead things don't swim. And the risen Christ gives us the ability to get reconnected. The axe with the handle. You know what needs to be in our churches across America? We need some reconnection. We need to get the axe back on the handle so that we can have the power in the person to fulfill his purpose. I remember several years ago, I thought about swimming. I like swimming, but I remember when I was a kid, about 12 years of age, I was at Newark Water Works Dam. Bunch of boys. Swimming. And I remember as I was out there swimming, all of a sudden I got under an undertow and got pulled under that undertow. And I could tell as a 12-year-old kid there was no way I could get out of that. They told me later they were making a line of 5 or 6 boys to try to get out to reach me, but it wasn't sufficient. And all of a sudden, as I knew it was over with, my whole 12-year life, not very long, flashed from I said, where am I going to go when I die? And as sure as I'm standing here, God performed a miracle. I believe it was his angel sent from heaven. A man literally walked out toward me, grabbed my hand, and led me out of that undercurrent. And when put me on the beach there, and when everybody looked around to thank him, he was gone. I call that a miracle. And I hope you believe in that. I didn't think much of it then. It was only when I got saved to realize that God has his angels watching over us and God in heaven is going to take care of us. I thought about those 5 boys that were there that day. Three of us hung around together, to really a total of 5. But of the 3 of us, those boys that hung around together, there was 5 in the original group. Only 2 lived to be 21. They all died. 3 of the 5. Went out into eternity, Christ's grave. But that's what got me thinking about where am I going to spend eternity. I hope you know where you're going to go. Because God loves you. He loves you enough to perform a miracle in your life. And here as I close, the miracle involved that people, involved people. God's provision, the branch, involves God's power. And after the head and the handle, look here, look at verse 7. By the way, keep this text in mind as we close. Therefore, he said, take it up to thee and put it on the head, and he took it up. Now, what would have happened? He said, look, man, it's a miracle that thing is not floating, it's swimming. And Elijah says, take it up. He says, oh, no, I don't need to do that. It can do it itself. Now, let me tell you something. God will never do anything for you that you can't do on your own. He will do the supernatural if you're willing to do what you're supposed to do. Am I making sense? You got to do your part. I can what? Do all things. How? Through Christ. Do your part. And if he had not picked up that axe head, it would have stayed there. But he had to make a decision. And he picked it up and he put it on the handle and they went back to cutting down trees. Father, what a story this is. I don't know how well I presented it, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will deal with our hearts.